You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Hey friends, the 2024 advance from November 7th to the 10th, which we are calling Justice and Judgment, is now open for registrations with an early bird special and payment plans. We are advancing with our biggest in-person event of the year at the Weston Oaks Galleria, Houston, Texas, where families can book double king bedrooms and take advantage of free registration for children and adults for only $50 for the entire four-day Bride Ministries Bride Tribe Advance until April 30th. Come with expectant hearts as we gather for a convergence of revelation and activation arising as the ecclesia in the earth. You will be empowered to collaborate with heaven to establish personal and regional breakthroughs. We invite you to join us in engaging with justice and righteous judgment of heaven as his government is increased in the earth. To secure your spot, go to booking.bridemovement.com. And just as a brief reminder, danduvall.com is the home of this podcast. And please check out overcomeraccelerated.com for an accelerated and empowered healing journey, if that is something the Lord has called you to. We'll be right back with our podcast. Don't go anywhere. Those were your announcements.
Hey everyone, this is Lindsay Piper Loomis. Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast, I'm Silent No More. I have a friend and guest with me today, Dan Duvall. I know many of you have heard from him, so welcome, Dan. Thank you so much for being here today.
Cheers. Good to be back.
Awesome. So many of you have probably already heard from Dan Duvall. I know a lot of people that are watching this have heard from him. I've given my personal testimony of freedom just working with him on some of the things that I've gone through with satanic ritual abuse and other situations. But there's been a lot of topic that has come up regarding extraterrestrial things, UFOs, aliens, whatever you want to call them. And Tucker Carlson has commented on this. I think, you know, Dan and I were just talking, Cat Williams has talked about this. And Dan is one of, and his ministry is the only one I know that has a high success rate, high recovery rate, and of survivors. And so, and everyone's at different levels of healing, but this stuff comes up and, you know, underwater things. So I thought, you know what, let's talk about it. So number one, I guess the question is, what is your perspective about aliens, UFOs?
Well, straight for the jugular. Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
What is my perspective? I have a perspective on the conversation that is nuanced. I don't try to draw barriers around a conversation that are not justifiable by the available testimony base. And a lot of views, I think, on that subject try to take, say, a belief system and say, how can we fit what we understand about aliens as a very broad term into this pre-configured belief system, right? And that happens especially in the body of Christ. So I think the number one body of Christ, like, mishap on this one is, well, everything is either an angel or a demon. And so these aliens are all demons. And that's like that. So we can't have any other conversation about it because that's the biblical quote unquote worldview, because that is the box we try to put the conversation in. I don't do that because, number one, I don't believe that is what the Bible actually has to say about the subject. And number two, I am of the perspective that I really want people to heal, right? That's where I come at every conversation from. In other words, if I'm working with a certain set of data and I'm doing actual deliverance work with people, healing work with people, and my pre-configured belief system is not bearing fruit, right? It doesn't resonate. It doesn't line up with their lived experience. It doesn't lead to actual breakthrough. I have to throw it away. And I will tell you, Linz, over the years, I have thrown a lot of things away because it's like, well, it's not working. And I'll tell you what doesn't work. The idea that aliens are just demons, so that's the end of the conversation. It does not work. It doesn't add up with lived experience from, and I am telling you, I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of people one-on-one. And I mean, the number of, at Bride Ministries, we're raising up an army of people to deal with this world. And I'm training them. We will have what we estimate to be 7,000 touch points with survivors all over the world this year alone. And we are growing that every year because we're here to help. We're here to serve. We are getting a lot of data. And the data suggests that this alien subject is a lot more complex than the oversimplification. Now, I will say that I believe a few things. I believe that there are groups that are not human origin. I don't really know what their origins are, but there do seem to be groups that have alternative origins that are interacting with mankind. And I also see that there have been a lot of efforts to build hybrids. And the groups that are building hybrids include government-sponsored groups, secret projects, military projects. Also, the Jesuits are really big into this. And certain cults that, you know, they're actually trying to breed hybrids, which dates back to the whole biblical conversation on Nephilim for present day purposes, including, right, their agenda to actually bring about an Antichrist figure who I believe the cults pretty much assume will be a human other hybrid. And so I'm aware of a lot of this, and these things also have their own intelligence. They can fly around on craft. And so you have a highly complex situation, in my opinion, where you do have some entities that are almost like, yeah, they're entities, but they're not even necessarily fully anchored to a three-dimensional reality. Some of these quote-unquote entities primarily exist in higher dimensional spaces and then can come in with the right environment, say a blood ritual or something like that is required to bring them in, and then they can be here for a while in a body. But we have reports all across the board. And from my perspective, you know, that leads into like, okay, well, what then are the alien grays, or what then are the reptilians, or what then are the, and you have all of these like terms that we've applied to different things people have perceived. And I say it's highly nuanced because just, you know, it's wild because when you talk to people and you say, well, what did you actually experience? They'll say, well, I experienced that there was a person and they had a cloak on, but then once the ritual started, they shapeshifted. Well, what did they turn into? A 9-foot reptile. Okay, well, you lived that experience. So was it a person or was it a reptilian? And it's like, well, there was a reptilian inside of the person. Uh-huh. So these are the kinds of things where we just say, okay, well, we have a lot of data points. Do we have the full answer for every question? No, but we are making room for a robust conversation. That's where I park my car. I just like, look, we're having a robust conversation. We're exploring things.
Well, and what's interesting is I want to come back to that scripture about Nephilim. I'll come back to that in a second, so don't let me forget. But in Africa, it is considered normal for things to shapeshift. I mean, people see it with their eyes when they go on mission trips. You hear it all the time. Well, I don't hear it all the time in the sense of every day, 24 hours a day. But when people go on these trips and they go to Africa, and because of the type of dark magic and things that with a K that that are operating, right? The devil is not constricted. His plans, his agenda is not constricted just to Africa. So for us to think that it only happens there and not in America or not in other realms and dimensions is really, and timelines is really naive, in my opinion. I can tell you, I had a, I could just say it was an encounter where I was taken to a processing facility and I was scanned, and my eyes, they scanned me and they said, there's still some soul left in this one. We need to get that out. And when I went in, I could see straight through. They were human, but God gave me view to look inside, and they were reptilian. And I was literally placed in this bed next to the enemy. I called the enemy. And it was a reptilian in a human form, if so to speak. But the thing was, the Lord was showing me that the bride of Christ was literally sitting in bed right next to the enemy being led to the slaughter because their eyes were not opened. And so that was one of the encounters I had. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you, but I was thinking about how in the scripture, and I think it's Genesis, I have my Bible right here, Genesis 6:3, and it says, or is it 6:4? 6:4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. So I know there's a scripture in Jude that talks about how they were locked away, but it says they were before and after the flood. And so that's, I think, where people get the conversation mixed up, that they were all just locked down in an abyss. But I know in my personal thing, when I went to Germany, we've talked about this before, I went to where the Mothers of Darkness castle is actually held, and where the Illuminati was stationed in one of its original forms over in Germany. And one thing that kept happening to me as I left Charleston on my way to Germany, I had witches that would just pop up sitting in a seat not far from me, where I would be eating dinner with a few other people that I was there with, and a witch would just pop up and start walking next to us trying to bring curses. They couldn't do anything. Weird things happened where Frankenstein was actually worked on, that university underneath where the drawbridge is, there's a walkway where the guards would have been, and in that area was like a little toy shop, and on one of the toys was a witch. It was a wooden one, but as we walked by, it kept following us. The entire thing kept moving. So if the devil and his tactics are real, then how much greater is God, and how much more real is he is? And we have to understand that that realm is more real, the spiritual realm where we are seated in heavenly places, than here. So I'm just thinking, how many years have people in the body of Christ chalked this off to, that's not real, that couldn't happen? I remember witches that would attack me at night in my bed and would mess with me. And it was horrific, you know? Of course, my family was involved in the occult, so it's not shocking. My mom wasn't, she was a victim of it. But so I'm just, you know, what are we going to tell people? How do we work through this? So that I was just asking basically what your point is, but let's go back to that scripture. What do you think about that scripture? What's your, let's hear it.
Well, look, I think I have a relatively expansive cosmology for somebody that aligns firmly on the written word of God and Christianity. I believe that the written word of God actually makes a lot more room for this conversation than certain fundamentalists would be comfortable with, and that's fine. But my job is not to fit into a fundamentalist camp. My job is to help people. And the reality is, the hybrid agenda sits at the center, not only of what was happening in the old world, and we call that the antediluvian world, because that deluges the flood. And so before the flood, anytime between Adam and Noah, you have this antediluvian world, which is a world that was quite starkly different to certain things that happened afterwards. It was, and I believe there's a lot of things going on that we'll over time continue to discover and be amazed at, including source points for some of the megalithic structures in the earth, the real populations that were walking around, South American confusion, like who built all this stuff? Who built all these pyramids in China? Who built all these, and with that said, the Nephilim were a big part of what happened then, right? So you have, according to the Book of Watchers, 1 Enoch, 200 fallen angels at that time. Now, how many angels did God create? Billions, easily. Sons of God, spirit beings that find their source point in who God is, right? The creator. But only 200 of them show up on Mount Hermon. And so this is a very small company, relatively, of these beings. And they are, yes, referred to in Jude as being locked up. Okay, fantastic. So they are finding these women. They're teaching men technology, how to deal with the stars and how to do makeup and how to do, like, it actually talks about these things in the Book of Watchers. And then they're having children with these women, and the children come out giants, and they're hybrids. They're part angelic, part human, and they begin to defile the earth. They're referred to as cannibals. It discusses how when these things die, they don't have the same afterlife experience as actual human beings. Their spirits seem to just defile the earth and persecute the sons of man as demons after the physical bodies die. Like, so there's this whole conversation around that. And then it says, yeah, before and also afterwards. And so what do we see afterwards? Well, you travel through the Bible, you see a lot afterwards. I mean, you have the Anakim, the Zamzumims, you have all these tribes going into Canaan. You have Goliath, who was born to the giant at Gath, meaning he had a mom. And like there's a whole family of giants. Goliath was not the only giant that David had to go to war with. You have the whole conversation around Nimrod, who begins to become what the Bible calls a Gibborim, which is a mighty one. Now, I could talk more about Gibborim because that is not the only term, but it seems like at least in Nimrod's case, he evolves himself with occult power. He finds some kind of connection to something hectically dark and powerful, mm-hmm. and ascends in a sense of like almost to becoming like an occult god of sorts. And he builds Babel, and he builds Sumeria, and some other things, and there's a list in Genesis 10. But you see that you have this activity going on afterwards, and then you hit Daniel chapter 2, which is, I think, one of the big bridges to what we see today. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is interpreting a dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's like, okay, well, you have the statue in your dream. The head is gold, the shoulders are silver, belly bronze, legs are iron, and then you have the feet of iron and clay. And he interprets the statue as five kingdoms, beginning at Babylon, and then typical, biblical understanding of this. You have the Medo-Persian kingdom, you have Greece, you have Rome, and then you have this fifth kingdom, and it's a mixture of iron and clay. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, about 42, it says, as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere one to another. That particular statement basically means that you have seed being mingled outside of the context of marriage. Now, in Genesis 6, you have these angels, they're taking wives to each other. But in the book of Daniel, the prophecy of a fifth kingdom is that there's going to be genetic engineering. It's not about marriage. It's about genetically engineering all this hybrid activity. That's what we're in right now. There is a ton of genetic engineering. And we talk about transhumanism affecting things into the future. Yeah, except for all the people that I've talked to that have actually been in the underground. And can we just call it the underwater bases and kingdom realm of this world? Like they have already perfected in some ways certain aspects of transhumanism. You know, I talked to Svali the other day on my podcast, and she defected as a Jesuit father. And she, you know, is putting out all the stuff that these Jesuits are doing. And one of the things she said is like, look, they had what they believe to be the Antichrist. And like, he's a couple decades old now. Like they and he's a hybrid. And so, you know, she even talks about they used to, you know, have a certain way of dealing with the hybrid kids because they were fully sentient. They're fully like they're like godmen. They look like Ubermensch, you know, the blue eyes, the blonde hair, superpowers. They can, you know, just translate themselves here or there. And she said, you know, the nurses had to feed them like breast milk with blood because that's what the hybrids need. Like, so how do you end up with such intimate knowledge? These things have been happening for a very long time. And the people that have been part of this world that are breaking free, because mind control is breaking. And I'm going to tell you, Linz, what I'm preparing for is a great awakening. There are people all over this country, all over the world, like yourself, that have been part of a world that has been explained away as a fantasy. But it's not. It's real. It really happened. These projects really happened. The satanic ritual abuse really happened. The trafficking really happened. The selling out to entity groups really happened. People really saw these hybrids. The men in black, they're real. Like, all this stuff is going to come to the public sphere as, nope, we have a crowdswell of individuals that all agree they are not going to keep dissociating their lived experience. And it's all coming to the surface. And at the center of it is this hybrid agenda. It's a lot of this genetic engineering. And that's where, you know, you have this bridge from Genesis 6 to today, because the Bible says, and this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Here we are.
Yep. And what's interesting is, I had a dream not too long ago. An angel came to me, not like worried, but distressed in the sense of trying to get me to get this message, and took me to a base that is off of California, where they are building a hybrid human mixed with marine animals like dolphins. And as soon as I woke up, and there was more to it, this angel relocated another dolphin in the dream, and I'm still asking God for, you know, interpretation for that. But when I woke up, God said, look up government sponsored things. And I know I already told you about this. I think I did. But I was like, okay, well, there was a government sponsored project, and, you know, there's YouTube videos on it. But then I started talking to some people who are investigative journalists, and I'm not going to say any more on that side, and have actually worked in some of this stuff. And they're like, yeah, they're trying to build a hybrid, which I knew because the Lord was showing me. I mean, look at the Hitler project. They brought over Hitler scientists over to NASA, and NASA funded that first, the first thing that I looked at with mixing, you know, with humans and dolphins, and not really mixing them sexually, but in engaging in sexual contact. And so, you know about that. They've been, why do we think they're trying to make our kids eunuchs to make them sterile so that they can't have children, so that they can then breed their own, whatever they're trying to breed. And it's horrific. Yeah, transhumanism is a lot more than what people think it is. It's a building of a, of course, it's counterfeit because Satan can't create, right? But he can utilize technologies and things that he's already had his hands in. You know, go back to Ezekiel. He was the most clever of them all. He was the most beautiful of them all. He walked literally on the coals right in front of the throne of God. He was the closest. And I think it said he was the most brilliant of them all. So, I mean, what do we expect? Right. And so I think you're right. This great awakening is coming. And I hear people more and more that are encountering survivors who have had horrific situations, and they don't know how to bring healing for people in the SRA side of things.
Well, and this is,
yeah.
If I can just,
yeah, nope, go ahead.
Enter in. I think this is where, you know, the viewpoint really expands out, because we have been on the cutting edge of helping people resolve these things. It's like, well, you know, because I have people come to me and they say, Dan, I'm getting abducted at night. They come and get me. They pull me either with or without my body, and then they do experiments on me. They do this, they do that. How can I stop it? You know, and there have been people that, you know, have suggested, well, if you call on the name of Jesus, it'll stop the event. And for some people, that is true. And then for some people that tried, and maybe it hindered or it slowed down the thing, but then it comes back the next day and it's been it's ongoing back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. there's power in the name, but it doesn't seem to end the attempts. And it's like, well, here's the rest of the story, Daniel. It's not so pretty, cut and dry. What do we do about it? You know, and one of the things about my line of helping people is I'm held accountable. I don't just go from one place to the next, lay hands on people, say you're healed, and then walk away and like never know the rest of the story. Like, if I pray for someone, I will talk to them a week later and say, is it still fixed? Are you still healed? Are you still delivered? Like, are you still having certain harassment problems? Like, I there's an accountability. And what we realized was people that were getting harassed by like these entity groups often required a genetic correction in order to stay free. The breakthrough was not, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, or just say the name of Jesus and it'll stop. Like, we had to basically understand the mechanics around the genetic augmentation that was sitting in real people that were having these encounters. So they had genetic problems. And those genes were markers that acted as the gate of access for the harassment. So we started looking at it completely different. It's like, all right, you're getting abducted by alien grays. Let's deal with the alien gray genetics that they put in you. You're dealing with reptilians. Let's deal with the reptilian genetics that they put in you. You're dealing with this, like, so we started to find that as we were able to, and this is the spiritual side of it, apply the finished work of Jesus Christ to people's situation with deliverance prayers that addressed problems on a genetic, and I would add a quantum level, because we're doing basically quantum disentanglements. That's when we started getting breakthroughs. I mean, and repeated, anticipatable. We have so many testimonies of breakthroughs. We're all over the world, which is why Bride Ministries is becoming like a thing. Like, people are talking about us because it's like, well, you know, I tried this, I tried that, but what they're doing actually worked. And what it required was an understanding of the actual nature of the problem. So these entity groups are behind a major, you know, genetic modification in a human does not require that a person is a full-blown hybrid that is being built by the Jesuit order. Like, I look at genetic augmentation through the lens of what the Bible describes as iniquity. And iniquity is any kind of perversion of the genetics towards a non-human, non-original design, and typically in a sinful direction, which is to miss the mark. Like, and it establishes an iniquity that really recharacterizes the way a person's body works, the way their gates work, the kind of access that the spirit world and entity groups has to that individual. And so that is where we have just seen massive transformation. And the reality is, we can't ignore the problem. This is real.
Yeah. And I'm really excited, because I think that this is going to be coming out in the public even more. I know you're already out in the public. You've been doing this for a long time. And I had to go to, which I love South Australia. I love the guys down at Adelaide. I had to go down there, and that's where I actually found out about you. And then, which, you know, 'cause we've talked, but yeah, I think It's interesting because people will say, well, how come it took you so long to get all your memories? And I said, well, what about these multiple people? There's someone I interviewed on my podcast. He's 60. When he was 50, he's like, God, I'm tired of whatever this is. I don't like this. I want what you have for me. And God said, okay, well, then I need to show you. And in South Carolina, he was a part of a group. His parents were a part of Freemasonry, Illuminati type activities, and had a lot of money. And he had a handler, a female handler, and he was a victim of trafficking, but he was chosen not on the side to be sacrificed, but to be the one that would take over. And so when he was younger than 14, he was made to do a satanic ritual and to stab someone else on the altar, and he
Wow.
couldn't finish it. So this other person took his hand and put it over. And this was in South Carolina. This was at a boys' camp. And he has a book called The Bourne Identity. And so, for people who are like, well, how come it took so long? What was the programming? And then you talk about genetic modification. Look, the COVID mRNA vaccines. Like, people are, there's a large plan there. So anyways, I just, yeah. So what would you say to people whose churches are not talking about this, or who will say this teaching is not valid, or how would you tell them to, basically test it with God for themselves? And I mean, just ask him directly, obviously, but what else could you point them to?
Well, look, this is what I see happening. God loves people. He loves justice.
Yeah.
And sometimes when things get in the way of justice, there needs to be judgment. It needs to be judged. And judgment produces consequences. So I'm going to tell you what's been going on in the body of Christ. Auditing.
Yep.
Auditing. And what I mean by that is judgment begins at the house of God. And that's not one of the things that the Bible actually is very clear about. And if it begins with us, what's going to be the end of those that believe not the gospel? And right now, God has a heart, right, that is overflowing with compassion for people that have suffered. Overflowing with compassion for people that have suffered. Suffered what? Let me tell you. Human trafficking,
Yes.
government-sponsored mind control projects, satanic ritual abuse, disenfranchisement, people that have been through ritual abuse through various types of cults that would not consider themselves satanic, such as Luciferian cults, witchcraft cults, cults that follow animistic religions. Right, Far Eastern groups that are, a totally different belief set, Buddhist, Shinto stuff, but they're all doing similar practices to break people's minds and manipulate. And there has been an overwhelming degree of partnership, right? Coordinated efforts between groups, sharing of technologies. These technologies did not originate all with mankind. They've traded into the wisdom and secret knowledge of entity groups to get it. They've traded into the elemental kingdoms to get it, to know the mysteries of the earth, to do all kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, many, many lives have been broken over this stuff. And God's heart is overflowing with compassion. Right. So then you have this thing where it's like, okay, so God wants to help a lot of people, but there are certain things standing in the way, like belief systems that say completely contradictory things to what God wants to heal people from. It actually requires that God judges the broken belief systems that have rendered his own people incapable of being part of the solution.
Yeah.
So you're going to see an auditing process. And right now in the body of Christ, it's really painful to watch
It is. It's
because
already happening.
People are getting audited. I'm not going to name any names. I don't have to. It's in the news. People are getting audited and stuff is being disqualified. Like, it's like, all right, you want to do that? That's disqualified. You're going to do that? That's disqualified. You know, churches are closing their doors. Things are, but if you look at the overwhelming trend, right? Anything that's happening is often happening to groups that are really, they're not part of the solution for the next phase of God's plan for the earth. They're in a different place. And what's happening is it's an auditing process. So God, the angels come in the spirit world. They pull up the records. They listen, you know, they're looking at what's going on and how are things being managed and stewarded? How are lives being stewarded? How is this? How is that? And there's a rearranging process that's happening now. So one of the things I would tell people is, look, it doesn't really matter where you want to camp, right? And what you, because the Lord's sorting things out anyway. Our whole organization was audited in the spirit. We had the discernment to recognize what was happening. And it was like, oh no, there is going, and we've been pruned. I'm telling you, at Bride Ministries, we have been pruned, and you know, it's been required for us to be prepared to be fully part of what comes next. And I think a lot of other organizations are going through the same thing. I've had, you know, key leaders and people that have come to me and been like, dude, the angels were, you know, going, they were around in my house over here, over there. They're like, what are you doing? We're auditing you. Like, so we know this is happening across the board. And what I want to say is to those of you that are like, you know, listening, it's like, yeah, because the judgment begins at the house of God. There is a cleaning up of the house. And part of that is are we going to make room to get what's in the Lord's heart, in our heart? Can we put the people that God is having all of this overflowing compassion for in our hearts? Or are we going to put religion and broken belief systems in our hearts that don't help anybody? And that's going to determine elevation and demotion as we go forward. And so I want to encourage people like, well, you know, my background doesn't buy into some of these ideas or whatever. And it's like, well, this is a one-way ticket. And I'm not worried about people that are naysayers. It's just going to go one direction.
It fuels me. And what is really beautiful, these survivors and overcomers, I call myself an overcomer now, but it was in, I was noticing this scripture. Let me see if I have it. So it's Psalm 27:10. It says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." In others, it says that he raises us or he teaches us. This is ESV. And I was thinking, of course, my mom didn't abandon me. She was killed, and she was a strong believer. But we're having orphans, right? I'm no longer an orphan. I don't associate that way. But people who have been fully abandoned, and God is after those people, those who are trafficked, those who have gone through these things and don't have a mother and don't have a father. And literally, God raised me up and brought me to where I am and connected me in all these different spaces. But that's where I believe your ministry, some of these places are God wants, you know, his heart to be handling these people coming out. And I was just thinking about that. I was listening to a teaching. I'm a part of a mentorship program for Building Goshen. And he was talking about how orphans versus, you know, sons of God. And I'm just thinking, you know, is it going to be a large number of people that are walking in this capacity? I hope so. But, you know, in speaking with a lot of people, it's going to be a remnant. And so I'm so excited about what you guys are doing. I'm thankful. I know we kind of went all over the place, but this was a conversation that's out there. And I know it's something that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. Is there anything else that you would share with people? I know you've got your the advance coming up in the fall and some other things that you've got going. And your coaching program has changed. So I want you to share how people can plug in for that as well.
Yeah. We do We do an annual meeting. We call it the Bride Tribe Advance. It's a conference. This year, we're going to be doing it in Houston, Texas, actually inside of the Galleria, one of the largest malls in America. And we're going to be in the hotel there. And we're calling the conference Justice and Judgment. I'll just leave it at that. it's going to be, so election day is Tuesday. Our meeting starts Thursday. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the prophetic alignment is and all of that. I'm very excited. So that's available. You can find that at bridemovement.com. That's our website. We have a training program for people that are called to be on the front lines of what I would call deprogramming. But really what that means is inner healing and deliverance. And we have an overwhelming number of people, even now, but more and more as we go into the future, that are waking up from a background of extraordinary trauma, mm-hmm. paired with entity encounters, usage and secret projects, trafficking. And everyone agrees that it's one thing to rescue a person. It's another thing to, like what happened with you, Linz, take someone with an extremely broken background and help them walk into an extremely productive life. Yeah. And the success rate for people that are overcomers like you is still very small. I mean, it's what you have been able to do, Linz, is extraordinary. And everyone knows it. And how do we get better at helping people to navigate a place of awakening or even rescue, and then help them to come to a place of solidarity where they could be very effective at executing a calling, walking out their purpose in life and all that stuff? And that's where inner healing and deliverance comes in. And we call it deprogramming, because what we are doing is we're actually going way beyond just in, you know, get out in Jesus' name. And we're working with people that have been programmed by artificial intelligence. I mean, the top stuff, like, we have it, and we are doing everything that we can to take it on in a very intentional way. So we have hundreds and hundreds of testimonies from all over the world of people we've already helped in various degrees, and many, many that we're helping now. And so we're raising an army. And how do we do that? We do it with our School of Inner Healing and Deliverance. So that's now a three-year program. And we had to keep expanding it, because it's like, how do we engineer for solidarity and longevity in the mission field, you know, we are doing it. And so people can check that out and get more information at bridemovement.com or just Bride Ministries Institute.com, which is this direct link to the school, and there's a lot more information about that. But that is a whole year information, followed by a mentorship with me. And I've been working with folks for over a decade. We've engineered a lot of tools. So there you go.
That's amazing. And so then, for survivors who would like to also secure a coach, can you talk about how you select coaches, or how coaches are selected for specific people, and where survivors can go, or victims, for that inner healing? I know it's the same site, but I know I've had some people ask me, well, how do they match people with, you know, the right person? And I said, you know, that's a good question. We should ask Dan that.
So just this year, we did a massive transition. We were working with an arrangement where I was training people, and they served the ministry, like Bride Ministries, the church, as volunteers. And so we had a scholarship program. And we changed all of that this year. And we created a church-owned company. It's called Bride Ministries Coaching. And so now our coaches are being managed, which has allowed for a whole lot better. I mean, it's a very much improved customer service experience, like, for people that are looking to get help from us, because we know who we're helping. We know how they're being helped. We have a lot more accountability wrapped around everything. And now we also have what we call a client concierge. And so what happens is, if people go to bride ministries coaching.com, they can just book a, 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 a concierge call. It's free. And someone will get on the phone with them and talk about their situation for a little while and help them connect with a coach. They don't have to do that, though. They can just go straight through and just find the person with a face they like. You know, it's like, I like your smile. Fantastic. Book directly that way as well. And all of our coaches, you know, they have had to demonstrate to us that they're solid people and that they are solidly serving with the right representation of what they have been trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all been through a thorough training experience and tests. We actually test people. So what happened is this year we've also gone and ministerially licensed the coaches that serve. So everyone that serves on the Bride Ministries platform is someone that we believe as a ministry board and governing body is qualified as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't have anyone up there that we don't believe is has the, you know, top-notch character and commitment to the clients they're serving.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You also have your podcast, Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. So y'all go check it out. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, make your day absolutely great.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.